Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, who's an economist with Harvard and who tracks the American Institute of Architecture and their billing index, and also is part of the Joint Center for Housing Studies. Kermit, you doing okay?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So people are back to school up in the Cambridge area, and there's a hum going for the fall, right?
There is. Fall is set in here, and intensity level is picking up, and hopefully that means good things for the economy, Kemp. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the billing index first. It's been somewhat of a good summer for it. The last one that you've reported is July. It was down just a hair, but still way up at 55.8, well over 50, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a strong number, Kemp. That's the strongest number we've seen in this index since before the downturn. We have to go back all the way to 2007 to see growth this strong in billings at architecture firms. So I think that's a very encouraging note. You know, the first 4 or 5 months of the year were kind of flat, and last 3 months have, you know, each month getting better than the one prior to that. So I think we're in a good, solid momentum heading into the fall here.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was looking, you can go on that architectural index website, and you break it into sectors, and actually one component of it is residential, and that is slightly down, isn't it?
Yeah, it's slightly down, but still very strong numbers. I mean, I'm looking at the last 3 months for a residential index, 56.4, 58.5, 56.5. So those are very, very healthy numbers on the residential side. I will have to say a lot of our members are a little more heavily involved in the multifamily side than the single family side, and the multifamily side of the market has just been red hot recently. A lot of demand for rental units and not much supply, so we're seeing a lot of activity there.
Well, we've talked about that before, this whole shift where people are doing a lot of renting. You know, something that I want to get to in a minute, you studied older people, and it's interesting. One of the findings in looking, pouring through that prior to this interview, is that the older people who've owned their home are like 40% richer than the people who rent. Very interesting statistic.
Yeah, no, for a majority of households, Kemp, equity in an owner-occupied home is their principal form of wealth. I mean, there's really just a very thin slice of the population that has much in the way of stock market wealth or bond wealth or things like that, or, you know, company ownership. Majority of folks that have any wealth are getting it from equity in their home. And then, as you mentioned, those households that don't own a home are missing out on that. Some of them have done some savings independently of that, but a majority of them really haven't. And so they're going into their retirement years without that equity in their home, you know, still paying monthly rent. And as we talked about the strength of the rental market, those rents are generally heading up. So it's putting quite a affordability burden on them.
Well, and it's almost a scary thought when you start thinking about the future, because if these people rent, they're not going to build a lot of equity. And then as they retire, they might be in a dire strait.
No, absolutely. And that's why we see so much of older Americans moving in with children and things like that. It's a pretty daunting financial task if you haven't planned out your retirement properly.
All right. So listen, the last time I spoke to you was in early July. Now several months more have passed by. As I talk to several people in the flooring business, they're still just a little frustrated that in 2014, we really just haven't seen a lot of strength in the economy. What do you think a couple of the factors are there?
We certainly, you know, got off the year on a very sour note. Some of that was weather, some of it was other things. But, you know, I think that caught people off guard, that GDP declined by almost 3% in the first 3 months of the year nationally. We had a better second quarter, but it largely just kind of made up for that hole we dug for ourselves in the first quarter. So, you know, still dealing with this sort of, you know, two steps forward, one step back that we've seen really throughout this recovery. And we haven't seen terribly strong job creation. People are still nervous about investing money, particularly in the real estate industry. Banks are still nervous about lending into construction real estate. So the old stories we've been talking about over the last few times we've spoken, Kemp, are still with us fundamentally. I mean, getting better, but still those same old problems again.
Well, the difficulty of getting a mortgage, do you think that's a big factor?
A lot more stringent. You know, obviously, times are very different than they were during the housing boom, whereas they say if, you know, you could walk and talk and breathe, you could get a mortgage. And now they're really playing much more by the letter of the law and really scrutinizing those things. You know, I see a lot of reports that average FICO scores, that's sort of a credit rating score for households, has gone up for folks that have been awarded mortgages. So I think they're, you know, sort of the higher risk portion of the market has largely been frozen out. It's easing a little bit now, but still much, much tighter than it has been in prior years.
Well, let's go to this study that you just released. I think we ran a press release on it yesterday on Floor Daily. You did a study about the adequate nature of housing and how we've got this aging population, and this study has determined that housing is not going to be able to satisfy their needs, correct?
The starting point on this, Kemp, is that we baby boomers are reaching our retirement age. You know, in 2010, just as the first baby boomers were beginning to retire, we had 40 million persons in the country age 65 plus. That's projected to increase to 55 million by 2020 and more than 70 million by 2030, so almost doubling between 2010 and 2030. This large baby boom population, there's these age ranges. And so the flip side of that is, you know, our housing needs change as we age. We would like more accessibility around our home, and by and large, the housing stock doesn't accommodate that. And I think there's a particular phenomenon going on here, which is that, you know, as we talk about in the report, most households want to age in place. They want to stay in their current home. They want to stay near where their family are, or where friends are, or, you know, where they have the supportive services that they're used to. But those areas often don't, you know, accommodate them. We have a lot of younger people that are moving to the Sun Belt, but older folks tend to be staying up in the Northeast and Midwest. I remember looking at the top 10 states in terms of the share of the population that was 65 plus. And on that list are some states you wouldn't think about. So the states you would think about on that list are Florida, Arizona, Hawaii, all in the top 10 in terms of share of 65 plus population. But other states on that top 10 are West Virginia, Maine, Pennsylvania, Montana, Iowa, Arkansas, Delaware. As you think about it, these are where these folks, you know, the older Americans now were born. As I said, younger folks have moved out to where there are more economic opportunities, and we have a older population in an area where the housing stock just doesn't meet their needs. I mean, the housing stock in the Northeast and Midwest tends to be much more vertical, much more up and down, narrow hallways, steep stairways, you know, steps getting into the home, other sorts of things that really don't accommodate an aging population. And so one of the key points of the report is that we just have a mismatch between where we have a housing stock that can accommodate this population and where this population currently is living and where they prefer to live and prefer to stay.
Well, I attended a seminar last week, and the person who was giving it told me that the baby boomers in the next 10 years will inherit $15 trillion. Have you heard anything similar to that?
No, I don't inherit, you're saying. I mean, I think that some of them are fairly well established financially, but I haven't heard that inheritance money. So that would be from their parents, I guess. Maybe that'll change the situation a little bit.
Well, and that's the traditionalists. And that's that generation before the boomers that I guess are getting up in their 80s and 90s and passing away and passing this money down. So
they were savers too, weren't they?
Exactly right. Talking about saving, that trend gets worse. I've written an editorial recently about the people that are finishing school now and the debt level that they've gotten. We are having a tendency in certain generations to outspend, you know, our means. Just to summarize this housing study that you did, what do you think the solution is?
Well, I think we just have to be much more focused on what the needs of this population are. I mean, we're all living longer. We're likely to live into ages where we do have some really serious mobility concerns, cognitive limitations, and things like that. As that happens, we need very different housing support systems for this population. And right now, they're not present. You know, we do have a few years to work on this. You know, we talked about growth, and, you know, baby boomers moving into their mid-60s. It's probably into their 80s before more serious problems are likely to materialize. But, you know, the housing stock we have now is just nowhere near ready to deal with the growth in that population.
Might be a good time to get in the elevator business, huh?
There you go. You know, that's actually one of the most popular products that we're seeing in homes, yeah. Home elevators. The prices have become a lot more affordable for those.
All right, Kermit, one last question. As you look at, we got one more quarter left in this year. You think we'll have a strong fourth quarter this year?
Yeah, I do. I think we're moving up into where we're going to see sort of consistently 2.5-3% growth, maybe the occasional 3.5% growth. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. It's just the same old story. It's just getting there very, very slowly.
Okay, great. Well, it's good to talk to you again. Been talking to Kermit Baker, an economist with Harvard, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.